by Mekhnafi that Syrians are looking for. And in the very, very near future, as the new government is established, as the new military formula is formed and reformed, we will discover that there will be attempts to broaden the coalition and potentially also avoid the horrible mistake that the United States did after its fraudulent and brutal invasion of Iraq in 2003, which is to completely dismantle the state, the ruling party, the army, and so on, because that had created the kind of chaos that actually ended up being counterproductive for the invading power and beyond. So I think it will be a different path than we have seen in Iraq. It will also be a more difficult path because Syria does not possess the kind of resources like Iraq's oil, at least, or part of it, because it's not all within the control of the government right now. So Syria will have an even more challenging future economically, socioeconomically, and politically. And what I fear is that within a short period, Syria will be off the news and we will see what I was talking about earlier, the analytical framework of what that means to the region quite soon, actually, as developments take place.
Well, Bassem Haddad, we want to thank you for being with us. Of course, we're going to continue to follow this. Founding Director of the Middle East and Islamic Studies Program at Mason, George Mason University. We will link
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Community Advisory Board will meet on Monday, December 9th at 6 p.m. The meeting will be held at 20 South East 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Don't know what to get your loved ones this season? Check out kboo.fm/merch and snag some KBOO swag to support community media in style. While you're shopping for gifts, you can make donations to help support KBOO's $75,000 goal for our Catalog of Connections year-end campaign. Now through December 31st.
And you are continuing to listen to your community radio station, KBOO-FM. And if you were listening shortly before my voice came onto the air, you might say, how might I give to KBOO Catalog of Connections year-end campaign? Yes, we are in the midst of our year-end campaign, the Catalog of Connection, and it is so important because it is an opportunity for us to reach our on-air goal of $75,000. There is something for everyone here, and that means you too. The drives are, we're focusing on the catalogs of options KBOO has. There's so many relationships and ways in which you are connected to one another. And you can continue to make sure that KBOO, your community radio station, continues to offer insightful, meaningful, transformative programming. Go to kboo.fm/give, click on the red dot Redbox Donate in your mobile app or text to KBOO 244321 or mail to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. Thank you so much for your support for your community radio station. And to remind you, I'm Cecil Prescott, and this is More Talk Radio. Today is the 9th of December, 2024. It is approximately 8:03 a.m., and I am so excited to have the opportunity to have some conversation with all of you. And I was sharing with the engineer a few minutes ago that gradually, I think I am coming out of my cycle, perhaps. I'm not sure whether it's grief, but a mourning, but waking up to the reality that we are in a new cycle, new phase of our life as a planet. So things are changing all around us, whether it's in Syria, the absence of any meaningful way in which we might see the Gaza situation resolved, and the fact that in our nation's capital we are uncovering a new administration with so much that is happening. And as I mentioned to our engineer, okay, I guess I have to take some time to learn who are the cabinet officers, who are these people who will have so much power within a matter of weeks. And it is important, and I understand why people might be why people are disappointed with the national elections and what that might mean for us and the work we have to do to make sure that people who are marginalized, migrants and refugees, trans folks, women, that their voices are not lost, that their power is no longer diminished, but they may be able to have voice and power and may be able to transform our national a national scene. But there is so much that disappoints us and so much that may make you want to weep. But perhaps there are signs or evidence of things we might do to create a better future for all of us. I'm not that all things will be well, but there might be certain trends that we might learn from what's happening and how we might transform our society. One block, one town, one county at a time. And so I submit to you an observation that I have that is not unique to me, and in fact political writers have noted it, and that is how it appears to some degree, and I want your perspectives on this, here in Portland, Oregon, and indeed one may argue in the state of Oregon, it seems to be bucking the national trend of conservatism, or whatever way you want to describe this conservative populism or MAGA movement. There seems to be, at least I would argue, those who are opposing these trends. And I think it's important to recognize that Portland certainly, and Oregon, is not immune to these trends of more conservatism. We remember that following, you know, if you can remember 4 years ago, and following the uprisings all over the nation, following police brutality, and what happened on the streets of downtown Oregon, and indeed in towns and cities throughout the nation, people were rising up in protest. And Portland certainly was pointed out as the source of all evil. At least the former and future president pointed to Portland, the deep blue Portland, as a cesspool, as someone, as a city that refused to abide by law and order. And in fact, one may argue, and I think justifiably, that there was a backlash in Portland in the spring of 2024 in terms of the elections. A progressive district attorney was defeated by a more conservative opponent, and certain candidates were running for mayor of Portland who were more conservative, and it seems as if Portland would certainly abide by this national trend of law and order and getting things back the way they ought to be. And that seems to be, that appeared to have been what was happening. But on the way to the election in November, a funny thing happened, and that there were a bunch of candidates running for Portland City Council, and also must recognize that Portland City Council changed the way it was structured so that we had more candidates representing different parts of the city. And so it opened up the possibility of more and different candidates. And indeed, one might say that the conservatism that gripped the nation, one may state, miss Portland to a certain degree. And I will tell you why. There were a number of progressive candidates for Portland City Council and Portland and the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners who were elected. One can look at Multnomah County election for commissioners, and a former Portland mayor who was came across as law and order. He was defeated by a progressive candidate. So he was defeated and was not elected to the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners, and indeed a progressive person was elected, defeated him for that seat. Can also be said in terms of the Portland City Council that there were a number of candidates, progressives, who were nominated. And who were some of these new power brokers of the city? You know, traditionally, the power brokers would be normal power brokers, builders, people who, bankers, those who were out allied with the business community, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, formerly known as the Portland Business Alliance. You know, they, for a long time, and particularly in the former form of government, held what some might say an overwhelming sense of power and control. And indeed, it might be argued that in the new 12-member city council. They maintain some control by having some of their candidates elected. And we could name them, and maybe we will a little bit longer, but a little bit later. But also, not only was the Portland Business Alliance, or now known as the Portland Metro Chamber, after they threw in a lot of money, were able to elect at least four candidates who were at least answer their phone calls when they call. Others were able to gain influence in city council. And among those are like the labor unions and nonprofits, social justice advocates, and certainly bucking a trend, the Democratic Socialists of America, Portland DSA, I think was able to say that they were very successful in their campaign in getting candidates they wanted elected to the Portland City Council. And we might name some of those in a little bit. But also not to focus purely on Portland or Multnomah County, looking at statewide and looking at what happens in terms of the state legislature. Well, in fact, in the state legislature, the Democrats continue to control the state Senate and the state House. They will have in the state Senate a supermajority, so they can vote. And they fell once short in the state House to prevent a supermajority. A supermajority would mean, because of our system, they could pass legislations without the vote of any Republicans if they wanted to. Except, and those of you familiar with Portland state politics in the last few years, recall that there is the possibility of a walkout, which would mean that they would not have a quorum, so they could not vote. So that has been the option that the Republicans use in the last, I think the last cycle of the legislature, and if I'm correct, the Democrats had also used something similar in sessions in the past. Nevertheless, the point I'm making is that in Oregon and in the Portland metro area, it seems as if there seems to be bucking of a national trend of more conservatism. Let me hear your opinions about this. Is that a true observation, or am I just pretending and not waking up and facing reality that we are in under a new fascist regime, not only in the nation but also in the state of Oregon? What are some of your thoughts? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Give us a call and share your thoughts. Are you looking at the national results of the elections and the local, I mean statewide Oregon results? Are you optimistic? Are there things that we can do locally, things we can do here in the state, things that we might be able to do in this region of the nations that will protect, keep safe, and protect those who are most vulnerable, those who are marginalized, and enable them to grasp their power and to respond? What are some of your thoughts? And I will share with you some of the thoughts of some of our most prolific writers locally who have observed and thought about these things. First up, I want to share some thoughts from of the writer who wrote in a local. Oh no! Don't do this, magazine. My computer is doing a crazy thing. Ah, help me. Okay. So anyway, well, I'll refer to an article that Shane Dixon Kavanaugh wrote in the paper of record for Portland, the Oregonian. And in it, Shane Dixon Kavanaugh observes that in the November election, Portland voters largely rejected a crop of city and county candidates running on platform law and order centrists. That instead opted, and I'm quoting, for established progressives seating seats on the Portland City Council and the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners, and soundly rebuffed, Shane writes, the full-throated public safety candidate for Portland mayor. Now, do you recall that there was a candidate for Portland city mayor who was pretty vocal? He sat on city council, and he had the endorsement of a lot of law and order folks. But a funny thing happened on the way to the election. It seems as if, and this is Cecil speaking, there was a change. Shane continues and I'm writing, there's been a false sense that Portlanders are looking for tough-talking white guys, said Christian Gaston, a seasoned Democratic consultant and political operative. They are definitely looking for people who will shut up and actually get the jobs done. However, Portland Commissioner Rene Gonzalez appeared headed for a distant third place, finishing the race for Portland mayor. And he was defeated. He came in third place against an outsider. Another city commissioner, Carmen Rubio. So the tough law and order candidate came in a distant third. Looking at the Multnomah County Board elections, which I referenced earlier, it appears as if two conservatives, Sam Adams, the former Portland mayor, and Vadim Mozyrski, were soundly defeated by left-leaning candidate Megan Moyer and Shannon Singleton. They defeated those conservatives. And if we look at the Portland City Council, we have this mixture of moderate and progressives. And as Shane notes, some of the most conservatives seem to have won. But also there have been the elections of progressives on the Portland City Council. So what are some of your thoughts? And are you hopeful or disappointed, or what direction should we take locally? Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. Let's hear what are your thoughts. Let's go to Santiago. Santiago.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Okay. Now, what are your feelings about the mood of the town you live in as opposed to the nation's? Are you optimistic, pessimistic? Where do we go from here?
Well, Gresham, as far as I can see, is pretty conservative. They've got a lot of pockets of progressivism, but for the most part, it's pretty white and conservative out where I live. Mm-hmm. But I mean, nationwide, I think we got to stop thinking about it in terms of conservatism versus liberalism.
Oh.
And seeing it as people trying to find a way to just buck convention.
Hmm.
Because at the end of the day, like, we see these party shifts because people have a genuine desire to see the system to see real change in the system. And I mean, it might be kind of a macabre example, but as we've seen with the death of Brian Thompson, that CEO who just got gunned down in broad daylight, mm-hmm. you know, like, look at the response to his death. People are either celebrating or they are using it as a time to reflect on how the system we live under has taken the lives of people we love. And, you know, I really believe that, you know, and a lot of liberal and conservative commentators are trying to gin up, they're trying to gin up support for the system. They're trying to say things like, oh, you know, look at this awful thing that happened. You know, even conservatives are trying to say, oh, you know, it's these leftists who are celebrating the death of a white man. And their viewers are saying, no, man, we're poor. We deal with the after effects of these CEOs day in and day out. You know, I really feel like people are jumping from place to place because they're trying to find a way to do something bigger and different. I mean, look people voted. Go ahead.
So yeah, let's expand on that, because I think you're hitting on something that I haven't heard from many people. And looking at what people are saying as bucking, you know, they're crying out against the system. So it as what I'm hearing from you, it's not so-called liberal conservative. It's sort of like the system is broken and it's not working. So that's why you have, you know, you can go from Obama one election cycle to Trump the next election cycle and go back and forth. So because I think, you know, you have not good players who are manipulating this real frustration with the system. So how do people, how do we organize better to address these issues?
Well, two ways that I keep telling people, well, there's three good ways that I tell people. Number one, join a union, whether it's like the, you know, especially like looking to IWW, especially if you're, you know, the International Workers of the World, especially if you're dealing with rampant unemployment, you know. But if you have a chance, like, I joined the Musicians Union, something I've never done in my life, but I've really been felt called to that area. So I joined the Musicians Union. So join a union, get involved in mutual aid, you know, stuff that's building, you know, and along with mutual aid, get involved in a political party that has nothing to do with electoralism. I recommend, you know, like La Raza Unida, Party for Socialism and Liberation, African People's Socialist Party, All African People's Revolutionary Party, American Indian Movement. There's a lot of non-electoral political parties, because we need to start thinking about building dual power. And a lot of people are claiming that we're powerless right now. We're staring down the gun of fascism, and there's people who are either cowering in fear or prostrating before the coming. Yeah. And you know, and it's got to be. And people are like, well, how can we do it under fascism? It's like, black and brown folks have been doing it for like between 400 and 500 years.
Yes,
you know. Our ancestors, the reason why we have the few scraps of that we have is because we had people who were willing to fight and die for it. And people are like, oh, you know, like, you know, people be quick to be like, well, violence isn't the answer. But I'm not preaching violence. I'm saying that the system we live under, whether they're doing something, whether it's active or not, is violent.
Yeah.
When our relatives are sacrificed for short-term profits, that's violent. When we can't afford a place to live because they want four times the rent to move in, that's violence. When we're looking at our brothers and sisters on the street with nothing to eat, that's violence. Just because it's not some you know, jack-booted thug walking around with a stick trying to beat people, that's violence too. But we got to look at the violence that's normalized. You know, Friedrich Engels, the person, the philosopher, you know, he came up with this idea of he came up with this idea of social murder, where the political and social circumstances make it easy it makes it possible for people to simply die by just living under the system we're under, whether it's not being able to afford health care, working too many hours, So
there are two things that I'm hearing from you that I think is are important. One is is the recognition of the system as violent and destructive power that it has over people, and also the power of the people to resist. And you pointed out to the to how ancestors have resisted in the past. And that may be able to give not some guidance, but also inspiration. But there's a lot of work to be done, and I like the examples that things that people can do. So you said join a union, get involved in mutual aid, and be involved in a political party that doesn't have to do nothing to do with electoralism. But all of this is about building power wherever you are. So thank you for those insights. Yes.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I don't want people to be, I mean, it feels like a hopeless situation, y'all, but we have roadmaps, especially us Black and Brown folks. We've got roadmaps that our ancestors have given us, and we need, you know, and it might be scary and it might be uncertain, but we don't have to be anxious about it. We just gotta find the love in each other and ourselves and just keep it pushing.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for what you're saying and for your suggestion, you know, to press on.
Yes. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call, and thank you for your inspiring words. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I invite you to give us a call and join in us in a conversation. Are you hopeful? Are there things that inspire you? Our last call is Santiago. Observe that, you know, we live in a very violent society, and we need to recognize it. And that the way that people are talking about the results from the election and how people respond may not be totally accurate. It may not be like left versus right, may not be conservative versus progressivism, but it may be people just expressing their frustration at a broken system that does not seem to work for anyone but the most powerful. And so a thing to do is to be involved in your community. And our last caller gave some suggestions, be involved in mutual aid, be involved, join the union, and also perhaps be involved in political party that doesn't have to do with electoralism but has to do with building power. And had one other observation that I also want to highlight is that dig deep into one's community, one's culture, in terms of learning the lessons from ancestors, from those generations before or even current who struggled. There are people all around in our history and in our world today who are struggling for survival, who are struggling for liberation. Who are those people? Who are those movement? What are those their inspiration? And how can we help dismantle a system which is so violent to so many people? One thing that our last caller shared was an observation in terms of the power of, I think, of culture, of history, and of what it means in terms of resistance. I want to here's a quote from a poet, Nikki Giovanni, the Black cultural thinker and writer, and she just an observation about, you know, how people respond to terrible situations, or, well, these are her words. She writes, "Style has a profound meaning to Black Americans. If we can't drive, we will invent walks, and the world will envy the dexterity of our feet. If we can't have ham, we will boil chitlins. If we are given rotten peaches, we will make cobblers. If given scraps, we will make quilts. Take away our drums and we will clap our hands. We prove the human spirit will prevail. We will take what we have to make what we need. We need confidence in our knowledge of who we are. Those words, Nikki Giovanni, an observation that even in the most terrible of times, those who are pressed down have the ability to rise up. It doesn't mean that things are not horrible, that injustice does not exist. But what it does mean, in fact, is that we as people have the power to transform our society. So what are those ways in which we are doing so? Our last caller reminded us. People are joining unions. People are involved in mutual aid. People are involved in political action to transform their society. And I began our conversation this morning by observing electorally what has happening nationally and also what has happened statewide and regionally, and offered perhaps a contrast between what I thought was a conservative trend in the nation and what seems to be, and maybe I'm being somewhat Pollyannish, if not a progressive trend, a more moderating trend locally. And what I think we can, perhaps we might agree on, is that there are things we can do locally that we can put, you know, figuratively and I guess literally put our hands on and create change. So what are things that we can do that are making change, transformative changes for people and their lives locally? I noted earlier that in the state legislature in Oregon will have next session soon, and the possibility of what we can do here in Oregon to protect the lives of people, to ensure that people have access to healthcare and to food and to housing. As our last caller noted, there are too many people who continue to live on the edge of society that we continue to ignore. And what are things that we can do to ensure the protection of those who are most often forgotten or marginalized? What are things that we can do to protect the health of people who are marginalized? What are things we can do to make sure that people are housed? What can we do that make sure that people are fed? And what can we do to make sure that violence and war cease? Those are things we can do locally. Those are things we can do regionally. Perhaps you might have a suggestion of how those things might be done. Give us a call with your thoughts and with your observations. Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. And this will be an opportunity for you to share ways in which we can change things. So, going back locally in terms of what things are happening, and Sophie Peel in Willamette Week last month wrote some observation in terms of who are the new power brokers in Portland City Hall with the new elections of a new city council, a new mayor, 12 new city council members, one returning, but 12 new city council members. And Sophie Peel writes that, well, the people, the power brokers are, one, she said, labor union. The Northwest Oregon Labor Council endorsed 8 of the 12 future city councilors. Tiffany Koyama Lane, Candace Avalos, Alana Patel Gwinney, Dan Ryan, Eric Zimmerman, Olivia Clark, Jamie Dunphy, and Stephen Novick. The Northwest Labor Council is a coalition of the biggest public sector unions in the city, including Oregon AFSCME, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and LIUNA. They endorse 8 of the 12 future city council members, and so they will have their phone calls answered and their email responded to. Sophie Peel also said that the Democratic Socialists of America are now power brokers in the city council. They write, the socialist group, which wants an end to eviction and investment in Israel, endorsed and aggressively knocked doors for only two candidates across all four districts, Tiffany Koyama Lane in District 3 and Mitch Green in District 4, both won seats on the council. Moreover, an additional three candidates are likely to at least be friendly with DSA policy aims, and those include Samir Kanal in District 4, Candace Avalos in District 1, and Angelita Murillo in District 3. So 5 out of the 12 are likely open to the DSA aims. Brian Denning, co-chair of the DSA in Portland, says the election results are exactly what the Portland Metro Chamber feared when they opposed Democratic reforms to city council in the first place. Including amongst the new council will be both of our endorsed candidates, 3 members of the DSA, and 5 councilors who've signed our Renters Bill of Rights pledge. Brian Denning continues. He said, we know that the Boston and real estate interests will pivot to oppose our agenda, but we have the power of a working class movement tired of political inaction here and abroad. Denning adds that the DSA policies, priorities, are Portland cost of living crisis, the ecological threat from corporations like Zenith Oil, and the spiraling U.S. funding genocide in Gaza. Those are a power broker that will continue to have their emails responded to and answered in the city of Oregon. So there are ways in which people are sharing their power and being able to transform our society. I think I'm a little bit more optimistic or a little bit more hopeful that things will change, or that people will find their power and their voice and change things. So what are ways in which you are able to do that? One thing that people are saying, that in this time of transformation, that there are things we need to do to find hope, to find joy, to find transformation. And, you know, this season is one where there seemed to be so much, people seem to be walking around almost as if in a fog. I think this has a lot to do with the with those of us living in the Northern Hemisphere and the change in the amount of daylight. So what do we do in the darkness of the absence of light? There are various religious and secular holidays which celebrate lights this season. And whether you cannot help but see those, whether you see the lights on the streets and on the houses and on the homes and in the stores, and whether you celebrate Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or any multiple of the winter solstice or all types of holidays of candles, of lights that are saying things about how things can transform. How are you entering into this season? Is it one of hope? Is it one of despair? Are there ways in which you are able to transform the solemnness, the sorrow around us, and enter and grasp the light? What are those ways? And for me, at least, some of the ways in which to grasp the light is to see the signs of hope all around us. And that is maybe simple things, things that people are doing that are making people's lives easier and more hopeful. So I know I tend to be a bah humbug type of person, but I also am cognizant of ways in which during this time of the year that people often extend a kind heart or a kind hand to others. And whether it is helping neighbors by providing food, or making sure that people have access to shelter, whether it is working in your community in many different ways, and it may be working together, creating a play, maybe working together to clean up a neighborhood or a park. There are all different types of ways in which people are building community and in which they are creating ways in which, in spite of everything, we are creating a better world. So, my suggesting to all of us, and most particularly to me, are find ways in which you can bring joy and hope, not only to yourself, to those around you. What are options? What are things you can do? What are things that you can change that make life better for those around you? And also give you and others joy as well. A previous caller reminded us there is so much that we can do, and there is so much that you are doing. And I want to highlight their suggestion in terms of mutual aid. Now, this may be a concept that you may be familiar with that or not, but you with that term, but you are familiar with the with helping one another, with working, building community. And so it might mean, you know, baking a pie for your neighbor who is sick, or taking care of the grocery for someone who is unable to get out. There are all different ways in which you can do it, ways in which you can transform your community and indeed transform our world. And when there is so much horror around us, I think we can be the revolutionaries that we are called to be by being revolutionaries in our lives and saying, how can I change things where I am? That's a goal. And you know, as Nikki Giovanni reminded us, the human spirit will prevail. We will take what we have to make what we need. And I am reminded as I look at the horrors of all around us, and there's a natural impulse to either retreat or to cry, but also to recognize that, as Nikki Giovanni reminded us, we have can take rotten peaches and we can make cobblers. We can take scraps of cloths and make beautiful quilts. We can take the sorrows of human existence and make songs of how we may get over. And we can make our hands our instruments. We can make one another an orchestra by working together, by building a society better for all of us. And so when it's dark for so many hours of the day, remind yourself what a writer has reminded us, that the darkness does not necessarily lead to despair, but darkness might be a means in which we are transformed. Valerie Carr, the activist, reminded us that darkness can be a tomb or a womb. In the womb, life is created. In the darkness of the womb, life is created. And so, in the darkness of this hour, life is being created. So do not need to refrain or run away or despair because of the darkness, but take hold of it and see how it may transform us. And for it may be a way in which we move forward. What are your thoughts? 503-231-8187. Let's hear from Mark with some words. Mark, what are your thoughts today?
Good morning, Cecil. I wanted to share these words, first from Karl Barth, a great German theologian who wrote a 10-volume Church Dogmatics, and he warned that religion was often a narrowing, and that God uses revelation to reveal himself. He said that God is total help for total need. And he said this in, I think, 1933. I think it's hard for us to think historically, because we're so bombarded with advertising and publicity. But I think that is the challenge. I think our thinking can be more powerful when we see comparisons, when we learn from history, like learning from Steve Biko. I also want to share this word from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the highest name in Germany, who was martyred, I think, in 1944. He said, "The fog is lifted. The language of proclamation runs crossway to the language of time." Now, Bonhoeffer led an underground confessing church when the conventional church was taken over by Hitler, and obedience to Hitler became absolutely necessary.
Yes.
I know it's hard for us to see ourselves as a fascist country. It's very frightening that Trump would want to militarize the police to go after his opponents. There are great organizations like Public Citizen and Americans for Tax Fairness. There are a great number of organizations and people who are going to block Trump at every turn. I think if we in Portland could reopen the Portland Clinic, which is going to close on December 19th, this would be a great sign of hope. The Portland Clinic employs 500 people and is the largest medical facility, and is apparently going to be closed because of a top-down decision they're unhappy about the homeless who gather in the evenings. So I just want to tell you this, and maybe you know, they will do what is right.
Mark, you've given us a lot to reflect upon in terms of action.
Yes.
You mentioned three of the people who I've admired, the three B's, Carl Bart, Steve Biko, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And you also mentioned the possibility of what we can do locally in terms of making meaningful change. So,
yes.
Thank you.
So many people depend on the Portland Clinic.
Right, yes. Yeah. Hey, well, thank you so much for quoting those. And oh, I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned the lack of ability to know history.
Yes.
How can we recapture that? Because, you know, you mentioned Karl Barth, and, you know, mentioned Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and how come, why is it that we do not know history, or how can we reclaim history?
Well, we're living in a culture that is so dominated with commercialism and advertising, and we really have to carve out a certain independence for ourselves. The internet can make the impossible possible. You can learn so much in just such a short time. If you just do searches, you know, Wikipedia is a great source.
Sure.
And so people can suddenly become super informed. It's a very surprising that German writers seem to be more interested in FDR than American writers and politicians.
Oh, yeah.
I watched an interview with Stephen Hassan, who wrote the book The Cult of Trump. He's actually a Jewish therapist, and he seems to know more about the New Testament. He can quote the New Testament more than most Christians that I have encountered.
You bring
amazing.
Yeah, you bring a lot to the table, Mark. Thank you so much for your calls, and thank you so much for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I am Cecil Prescott, and I would be not a very good host if I fail to remind you that we are in the midst of our, you know it, KBOO year-end campaign, our catalog of connection, and our on-air goal is $75,000. You know, there is so much, as our callers reminded us, Mark and our previous caller, Santiago, reminded us, how we need to get accurate information. How we need information. And moving into the next year, KBOO is a place where you can find good information. There's something for everyone here. This drive, we are focused on the catalog of option KBOO has, emphasized the, you know, there's so much. I enjoy the conversations we have with one another, and I learn so much from you, and our listeners learn so much from all of us. And it is so important to support KBOO. Why don't you join me and go to kboo.fm/give. You can donate that way. You can, if you have a mobile app, you can click on the red box, donate. On your phone, you can text KBOO to 44321, and you can mail to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. All of this to support your community radio station, now more than ever, more than 50 years here, and more than 50 years into the future. Thank you so much for being members and supporter of KBOO. I'm Cecil Prescott. Thank you for listening to More Talk Radio. Have a great day and take care of your community.
This is KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO's Catalog of Connections year-end campaign, where we bring you a range of community-oriented programming built by